Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with our senior pastor, Ben Martinez. Don't forget to check out our website at calvarychapellubbock.church. There you'll find a lot more about our mission to love God, love people, and live radically. Now here's Pastor Ben.
So this past Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday. And when you think about it, it was all about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And it had such an amazing significance when you think about the Mount of Olives and then Jesus descending into what we would call the Kidron Valley, going into Jerusalem. It was a beautiful picture of one day, you and I, we're going to hear the trumpet sound and Jesus is going to descend from heaven and he's going to call us up to him. Now, you got to be careful because we don't know when that day is. And if you're social media, you're hearing all kinds of stuff on, well, you have an eclipse on April 8th, and watch out, and it's an X, and it's going to go through Nineveh, and it's going to go through Rapture, Texas, and all this stuff. And you know what? We're not going to live by that. We're going to live by what God says, and we're going to continue to. Now, if these people are right and he comes for us, can I get an amen? We just need to make sure we're ready, though. But here's the problem. As much as you and I want Jesus to come, we got people who are not ready. And we're like, oh, man. We want people to come. So Jesus, back in your minds, guys, he's coming down Sunday, okay? And think about the crowd. The crowd is singing Hosanna. Save now, Hosanna. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what we learned was so significant on Sunday. Do you remember? They were taking their clothes, they were taking the palm branches and laying them down at the feet of the Lord, and that signified that they were giving all that they had, all of their resources. They were honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and here he comes on a donkey, right? And it was basically to fulfill Scripture. And what we're going to learn, too, is when you think about it, although he comes in triumphal entry, he's going to weep for Jerusalem. He's going to realize, and this is Sunday, and I would like for you to just take a brief moment before we jump into Monday morning. Here is our Jesus knowing in just, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in 5 days, he's going to be hanging on a cross. You see, but it's not just going to be something where he goes, oh, well, I was alive, now I'm dead. No. It's going to be one of the most brutal. I mean, think about this. In your mind, Genesis chapter 3, everything is great until Adam and Eve, until she finds herself standing in front of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what we don't realize is that when Eve took that fruit, whatever it was, and then gave to her husband, it fractured everything and it fractured us all the way up until today. Sin comes in and it fractures. And let me just say this, sin fractures your marriage. Sin fractures your personal walk. Sin fractures your spiritual life. Sin fractures your morality. Sin hurts you emotionally. It fractured everything. Jesus, knowing 1 week, think about this, he's about to go to the cross. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to really set the mood. He's going to have supper with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. He's going to have supper. He's going to take communion. But I want you to think on that Friday, you just think about all of the stuff that he had to go through. The scourging, you know, the cat of nine tails, the whole, everything that, up into the cross. You know, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was beaten by Pilate and the Roman soldiers within an inch of his life, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that he was basically unrecognizable. I want tonight to be a time when we just take a moment to really reflect on the price that was paid for Jesus to reconcile us back to him. and that we would never take it for granted, that we would never be like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm a believer, but more of a, Lord, wow. Wow. I mentioned this on Sunday. I'll just briefly mention it to you again. You realize that the word excruciating comes from the fact that this is when they nailed him to the cross. That was the excruciating. If you sit there and you go, man, I hurt my knee the other day. It was excruciating. It's not exactly what what that word means for us as it was for Jesus. And now we live in a world that's anti-God. Now we live in a world that has nothing to do with God. We live in a world of social media. We live in a world of anti-Christ. We live in a world where people don't want to believe in God. People don't want to believe in Jesus. They want to do their own thing. Church, listen. I'm not saying that it's April 8th, and I'm saying it's not April 8th. The Bible tells us that no one knows the day or the hour, but I am telling you that he's coming back soon. He is coming back soon, and so we have to be ready. So Sunday he comes in, he weeps. Monday morning, he's going to go into the temple, Luke 19, 45 through 48. Read with me, it's going to be on the screen. It says, then he went into the temple, and he began to drive out all those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my Father's house, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders, and the people sought to destroy him, and they were unable to do anything. Why? For the people were very attentive to hear him. Now listen, think about that. That Sunday night, he comes in, he descends from the Mount of Olives. Monday morning, he's back at the temple, and he's teaching. But he finds something that just breaks his heart. He finds out, guys, that in the temple, they're using it as illicit gain for money. I mean, think about this. And I mean, again, he's going to confront them. You guys know the story. He's going to confront them in a very important spiritual issue, but they're going to react like he's confronting them in a economic issue. Well, you just want to take away our... And I think about that. I think about that. Well, you don't want us to have any fun. Well, tonight, make sure we let the Lord lead us and confront us and convict us so that we can be clean. And so sometimes we have to take a moment to go, Lord, okay. What's going on? What's going on in my heart? Is there something? May I present to you, we need to be careful from our blind spots. Do you guys know what a blind spot is? You're driving in your car, you have a blind spot. You can't see specifically. You've got the mirror and you can look back, but you've got a blind spot. And I think we need to be careful with some of our blind spots in our walks with God. What are we allowing in? Now, before we jump into each day of the week, let's unpack these verses. See, Monday morning, Jesus comes to teach at the temple. He finds that they've made it a den of thieves. And what was happening is they were selling sacrifices for prophets, not wanting to really, truly help the people. Here's what I found. Every male Jew had to pay a temple tax every year of half a shekel. And it was equal to about 6 pence. Everybody understand? 6 pence. But in evaluating it, it must be remembered that it was almost equal to 2 days' pay for the working men. So 6 pence would be about 2 days' working pay. You're like, okay. So about a month before Passover, booths were set up all over town and villages so that their tax could be paid there. But by far greater part, it was actually paid by the pilgrims in Jerusalem when they came to the Passover feast. So all of a sudden, it's like, well, I'm gonna go pay my tax here, but okay, maybe I better not. Let me just wait till it's a little bit closer. Well, you also had to offer sacrifice. And as we look at the seller of animals, almost every visit to the temple involved a sacrifice. Almost every animal could be bought outside at a very reasonable price. But the temple authorities had appointed inspectors for every animal must be without spot or blemish, and it was therefore far safer to buy the sacrifice from the booths officially set up in the temple. You go, listen, I've got this little lamb. I think it's pretty good. But when I get there, I've traveled a far way, and I look at him, and they go, no, you can't do the sacrifice. So what happened is over the years, they began to think, oh, well, let's just buy one there. It's already stamped for approval. Let's just buy one there. There's only one problem with that, guys. The people in the booths were charging about 75 pence for an animal, not just the 6 pence tax. You know that they inflated the prices, okay? Now, you could go outside and find one. Hopefully, you could find something, and it would be about 5 pence outside the temple area, but inside, it would be about 75 pence. You go, that's crazy. But I think there's some application for us. You go, how so? Well, think about this, okay? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are His temple. God lives in us. Can I get an amen? So we all agree that God lives in us, and you go, yeah. Now, here's what I'm thinking, right? From time to time, just like over the years in the temple there in Jerusalem, where they began to allow things in the temple that wasn't really supposed to be in there. They were taking and they were putting booths up and all of this stuff, and you go, Pastor, what's the point, right? From time to time, I wonder if you and I tonight have allowed things to come in and take up residence in our hearts. If we've allowed some things in our lives, in our temple, that we're like, you know. And so I'm not here tonight to go, okay, well, confess your sin, or you, what about, come on. I'm here to go, Lord, what is it in our hearts? What are we allowing that is holding us back? You see, it's not a salvation issue, church. It's a relationship issue. What are you actually allowing in your life? You're saying yes to that's holding you from a deeper, amazing, intimate, wonderful relationship with the God that created us. You see, you got enough outside distractions as it is. You got enough of the world trying to keep you away from reading your Bible. You got enough of the world to keep you from praying. You got enough of the world. All that goes on in the world, guys, all of our lives are so busy. We get home and we watch TV or we're social media, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this, we're busy making dinner and all this stuff. You have enough of that, but what have we allowed in our hearts that, again, is like, it's blocking the flow of prayer? And see, God so lovingly is going to knock on our hearts tonight and say, hey, tonight's the night, you know, to repent. Confess that. Church is not supposed to be a monument for saints, but it should be a hospital for sinners that are sick. The body of Christ should be together, knowing that we're all on the same boat, lifting each other up and walking with that same confession, not going, oh, that should not be. But see, the body of Christ is more than just a building. The body of Christ is you and I. But we need to take time to confess our sins one to another. We need to take time to hug on each other, to love on each other, to encourage each other. We've all come in here from a broken world, and some of the world has jumped on us, and we've come in and we need to shake it off. So Monday night, he goes to the temple. Monday. On Tuesday, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, but not before teaching one final time in the temple. Turn over to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, 1 through 11, it says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came in having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask, poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves. And this is what they said. Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do good. But me, you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So on Tuesday, this is what's happening. On Wednesday, he's going to go to the chief priest. So think about that today. Today's Wednesday. We're here. This was Judas's exit to go talk to basically verse 10 and 11 here. But I love the fact that Jesus looks on favor on this anonymous woman in her anointing. She is not a priest or an authorized prophet, yet she anoints Jesus' head with valuable oil because he is the king. Jesus declares her actions to be a beautiful thing because she has prepared his body for burial. She didn't hold anything back in her commitment to glorify Jesus. The value of her sacrifice is shown later when Jesus' body is hastily buried in the tomb. When we think about that, and then we come to Holy Wednesday. Most people know this as a day of rest. Judas is out trying to secure some money. Now, when we looked at Mark, guys, when we looked at Mark 14, the one who got really upset was Judas. Judas said, how come that wasn't sold? Because guess what he was doing? He was dipping his hand in the pot, in the money bag and putting it in his pocket and so forth. I want you to think about Judas for just a moment. Judas saw all the same miracles that the disciples did. Judas saw the feeding of the 5,000. Judas saw the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus saw people that Jesus touched and came back to life. And Judas didn't believe. If you were to ask any one of those disciples what they thought about Judas, they would have said, oh, he's one of us. He's one of us. He's a great guy. See, all the while, we don't know what's in the heart of people, do we? And so Judas goes off. And then it comes to Thursday. Think about this tomorrow when you're at work or wherever you're doing. This is the Passover. This is known as Maundy Thursday. Matthew 26 and 26 through 30 says this. And as they were eating, notice, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and says, take and eat this of my body. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said to the same, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many in the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, Jesus is one day away from being crucified. One day. One day away. And he's having the Last Supper. In just a few moments, when they go out to the Mount of Olives, Judas is going to come with a regiment of Roman soldiers. A little skirmish is going to happen. Peter's going to cut off the ear. Jesus is going to restore it. But then they're going to take Jesus bound to Caiaphas' house. And they're going to put him in a dungeon. And the hole is about this big, and it's a dungeon. This is where they would hold prisoners. You see, it was against their law to have a trial at night, and yet they're going to have a trial here pretty soon. All the while, our Jesus is dropped in a hole, and he's waiting. And then they're going to come and they're going to pull them out. It's another beautiful sign of the resurrection. When you think about it, why? Because the cistern there is well, it's not dark now, but it was dark then, and it acted like the grave as Jesus was in there alone contemplating what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. But as they pulled him back out, it's a beautiful picture of the resurrection. When they pull him out, and you guys know the story. You have the trial, you have the scourging, you have the crucifixion. I want you to think about this as the scourging took place. It was taught that the Roman soldiers were taught that basically when you started a scourging, you wanted to go real hard up front. That you would go real hard, two or three lashes, because you really didn't want to give them the full extent. And as the prisoner would remain alive, you would actually go harder and harder and harder and harder. And when you think about the cat of nine tails, guys, here is this cat of nine tails that came across the body of Jesus and ripped off his flesh. Little bits of bone and glass as it threw, and most people would die from the scourging alone. And then if that wasn't enough, they let him take his cross and carry it down the Via Della Rosa on the way to Calvary. They nail him. You see, you and I, we read it, but we don't hear the screams of the nails going in his hands. For you and I, we call it Good Friday. Some of us get the day off. Some of us, whatever it might be. But if we take a moment tonight to think about Friday, there should be all the love and affection should be stirred up for what Jesus did. Here's why. Because the cross of Christ was enough. We don't have to perform. We don't have to work. Salvation was bought. It was enough. The blood that was spilled at Calvary was enough to reconcile us back to Him. Now think about this for a moment, church. Think about this. The enemy of our soul always wants to come in and wants to put Jesus plus, what are you going to do? How are you going to behave? What are you going to do? Jesus, and so we're really in bondage all of our life unless we truly understand the gospel. When you think about the cross, when you think about what Jesus did, when you think about Him up there, man, we used to sing a song way back in the day, while He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords seeing spiritually throughout eternity all of us here tonight? And of course, they take Him down, they put Him in the tomb. Jesus rests on Saturday. And we wait for the beautiful resurrection on Sunday. But let me take you back for for a moment on Thursday, guys. Let me take you back. Because it's something that I want to set up tonight and what God wants to do. John chapter 13, 1 through 13 says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and lay aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel in which he girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' And Simon Peter said, 'Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean,' he says, 'but not all of you,' for he knew who would betray him. And therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' And so when he had washed their feet, he had taken their garments, sat down, and he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am.'" As we wait on the Lord tonight for healing, reflection, contemplating what Jesus has done for us, let us be reminded, first and foremost, of our service to the Lord. Jesus, in the midst of this, does something unbelievable that the disciples couldn't believe it. He takes a towel, and they've already eaten, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And this is God in the flesh. This is right before he's going to be arrested. Jesus shows he is willing to humble himself and he's willing to serve those he loves. And in a powerful example, Jesus gave his followers a new commandment. He says, "Love one another and show others you love them by serving them in the same manner Jesus did." So tonight, about 2 years ago, this is our third upper room service, we decided to wash the feet of our people. We decided, as your pastors, that we would ask you, we want to extend what Jesus did tonight. It's a very spiritual thing. What I'd like to happen tonight is I'd like for prayer. There might be something you're struggling with. Pastor Soph and I are going to gird ourselves with a towel. We're just going to pour the water over your feet and pray for you. You don't have to feel embarrassed. You don't have to feel, "Oh, goodness, my feet." It has nothing to do with that. The first year we did it, many people are like, "Oh, I don't want to do this. This is weird. I'm taking off my shoes." But I think it's something so special. It's something for us to tell you guys that we love you. And not only are we willing to feed you the Word of God, to walk with you and to share with you, but we're also willing to wash your feet. I've had many people come up to go, Pastor, we want to wash your feet. No, it's not about us. It's about us serving you. We're ministers of the gospel. We're walking with you. We're praying with you. We're doing life with you. You see, it's not a vocation that you choose. It's a calling that God puts in your heart. It's a calling where you have to sit there and you go, look, man, I just love. Now you go, well, Pastor, I'm not really feeling comfortable with the feet washing, but that's okay. If you need prayer, if you want someone to pray for you, we can do that too. We can pray for you. We can pray as long as you want to pray. Let me say this to you too. I don't know where you guys are in your marriage, but I think it'd go a long way if you told your wife tonight in an act of service that you love her by washing her feet. As a husband to a wife, you can do that. You might say, sweetie, please forgive me. I haven't been serving you like I should. I haven't been the leader of our home. God has spoken to me, but tonight I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to start tonight. I want to start fresh. Guys, this is a sacred and holy moment. After we wash feet, we're going to take communion together. We're going to do, I'm not sure if you all know, at Calvary we do an afterglow. An afterglow is where we can be quiet before the Lord, and that really scares us because we're not used to quiet. We're used to something, and this is why we all have phones. Have you ever been to, you ever been someplace and it got quiet? What do? You take out your phone right away and you scroll because you just feel like you need to be doing something. Well, this is where we just, and part of the afterglow is that maybe God has a scripture in your heart. Maybe there's something that you have been wrestling with all week and that you need to share. You just need to confess. And so, well, that's what we're going to do tonight. If you will, church, allow us to wash your feet and pray for you. When you come up, if there's something you need prayer, all you have to do is say, hey, pray for this, and we'll pray. And we'll wash it, and we'll dry it, and you can go back to your chair, and we'll do that. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We praise you for all that you're going to do tonight. As the songs are being sung, Lord, may we serve you. May we serve this church. May we serve these beautiful people. Father, I'm asking that you would do a work here. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would move. Would you convict us in those areas that we need conviction? Would you restore us? Would you help us? Would you help us pray with each other? Would you help us love each other?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. We'd love to hear from you and see you in person at the church. You can find our contact information, location, and even give a donation at calvarychapellubbock.church. We'll see you next time on the podcast. Until then, may God bless you and your family.